the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Golf Podcast. This is episode number 206, and we've got a great interview. We're going to be talking today with Brad Converse of Bradley Putters. These guys have been blowing up on Instagram, so you may know the name. If you don't, make sure you check them out because they are making some of the sickest wood custom putters you've ever seen. And what I love is that, you know, Brad just kind of like walks you through their whole process. His stories are kind of like epic. I'm always watching there because it's like every day he shows you a little bit of the behind the scenes with them making these things all the way from like when they receive these pieces of wood in all the way down to making it to these custom putter heads. And all the wood that he uses has a story too. It comes from like famous golf courses or whatever it may be, but there's truly nothing gimmicky about this. I mean, I had a chance to use them a little bit at the PGA show and man, did they feel good.
Yeah, so you were loving it.
I was. So I can't wait to get a talk to him and find out a little bit more and dig deeper into like, you know, his concept behind this, why he decided to use wood, what his process is. So I'm excited to do that. But before we go any further, I want to let you guys know that this episode of the Golf Podcast is sponsored by Health IQ. Health IQ is an insurance company that helps health conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Healthier individuals deserve to get rewarded with more affordable insurance. So check out healthiq.com/golficity to support the show and see if you qualify today. So Mike, I'm looking forward to bringing Brad on the show. Before we do that, I just want to run down a couple of quick things. One, as you know, we've got the app coming out soon. Who knows? It might be launched by the time this episode comes out. We are like in those final stages with that. I can't wait to get that going. And then, you know, we talk about every week, but Bay Hill is coming up really soon. One big thing, I know you've been in the market for a driver. You and I are going to be testing the M3, M4. Who knows? Maybe you'll fall in love with one of those and walk away with it. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel because that review should be dropping any minute. It might be out by the time this podcast comes out. So that's a big one. But yeah, I mean, other than that, Mike, what else you got going on? I mean, I feel like it's just like that time of year where we're just chomping waiting at the bit because we're getting close. I mean, mid-February, we're still kind of in the throes of winter, but it's not that far off. You know, April is like, I can smell it, man. It's around the corner,
you
know?
It's so close, especially with this Thursday. We have 59 degrees it's calling for. So, you know, my Bay Hill prep is still underway. Like I told you maybe a couple weeks ago, I don't want to go in there that cold because to be honest with you, it might be the first round of my season.
Yeah.
You know, we all know how that goes and you don't want the first round of the season to be your probably one and only pro-am you ever play in your life. So I'm hoping that at least I can, you know, maybe get out there and play like four or five holes at the local course on a really warm day if I catch one between now and when we go. And maybe not. I think part of that itinerary at Bay Hills, we're going to be doing a kind of like a short game clinic or some type of clinic at Orange County National. So I'm hoping maybe you and I can jump out and play 18 right after that's over before heading to that pairings party. That'd be kind of cool to stick that in there. But to get a round under my belt before I go out would be ideal. So like you, I am just chomping to get out there, but I'm staying loose. That's for sure.
Dude, that's certainly the goal is to play as many rounds as we can while we're down there. But speaking of April, I mean, probably one of my favorite weeks of the year, the Masters coming up. It's going to be an exciting one this year. We've got guys like Rory, you know, prepping, you know, really seeing committing to a lot more tournaments leading up to it. So one thing that we're toying around the idea with, and I think this could be a lot of fun if we can pull this off, Mike, is to do kind of a live viewing party. We've been having so much fun with the Golficity live segment that we've been doing. And if you guys haven't checked that out yet, definitely do so. Just follow our Facebook page, turn on those live notifications so you see when we're going live. We've been trying to do it fairly consistently on either Tuesday or Wednesday evenings before we record the podcast episodes. But it's sometimes, you know, busy schedules, we don't always get to do it during that time. So the best way to do it is just to put those live notifications on. But what I love about it is it's, you know, it's kind of like the podcast, but we get to do it a little bit more free form. We get to have a little bit more feedback from the comments from people who are watching it live. So I thought, you know, this could be a fun thing to do if, you know, during the Masters, we're all watching it anyway, maybe we'll hop on there. you know, give our own little commentary, you know, just do like a little live viewing, you know, who knows, maybe, just hang out, grab a drink and just watch the Masters. And then that way too, if it's on live, we can have some of you guys feedback, all the viewers and listeners, and you can just throw your comments in there and we can have a discussion.
Wait, by the way, that's probably the only way that you and I will ever get together to have a drink and watch the Masters, right?
I know.
Getting together on the weekends with our schedules just to do that. This is an epic excuse to do that. So I hope we can pull it off.
I know. At this point, it's like, yeah, we make it a work thing just so we can like hang out, right?
Exactly.
Our wives will kill us. Otherwise, we'll be, it's like, yeah, I'm taking all of Sunday and
yeah,
I'll go sit on the couch. That's why I'm always so happy that now that I can stream the PGA Tour on my smartphone, because the chances of me actually sitting in general, but sitting in front of a TV for more than a half hour clip on the weekend with, you know, I have two young daughters. Yeah. You have two young daughters. It's like, it just doesn't happen as much as we'd like it to. So far too often, it's like you see those Instagram videos, like the golf guy, you know, like typical golf guy. Like I'll have it propped up on something.
Yeah, like
at a table or something and trying to catch a little bit of the PGA Tour. So that'll be fun. I'm hoping we can pull that off. That'll be a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I don't want to take up too much time because, as always, when we have interviews and when we have people coming on the show, I try to reserve as much time as we can for that because it's always great, like I said, to hear some of these stories and some of these diverse stories. You know, we're trying to for you guys to bring as many different areas of the game as we can, you know, and that's why like we've had a lot of instructors and coaches on the show. And then last week we spoke with Coach Rusty, which was a great time. And speaking to one of the guys who's like, you know, the best in the trick shot game. And then now we're going to be, you know, speaking with Brad and talking about this very niche, you know, club manufacturing market. So there's just so many different areas and aspects of the game. It's not always just instruction. That's what I love about the game is exploring these other different areas. So I'm really excited to bring him on the show. Let's do a quick word from our sponsor and then we're going to hop right into that. All right. So once again, we want to thank Health IQ for sponsoring today's episode. Guys, let me tell you a little bit more about Health IQ because I'm loving taking advantage of their discounted life insurance rates. What Health IQ does is they use science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health conscious people. That includes runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and a whole lot more. And talk about savings. 56% of Health IQ customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. And these savings are exclusive to Health IQ.
Yeah. And the reason that Health IQ can save their customers up to 33%, Frank, is because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease. They have a 20% lower risk of cancer and a 58% lower risk of diabetes when compared to people who are inactive. So think of it like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver. Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health conscious lifestyle. So learn more and get a free quote at healthiq.com/golficity.
All right, so today we're honored to have Brad Converse of Bradley Putters on the show. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I mean, I'm so glad that we had the chance to run into each other at the PGA show. I mean, we've been following along what you've been doing on Instagram, as with most people. I mean, that's where you discover so much new stuff. But we've been following along for quite some time, so finally to get a chance to meet you was excellent. But I want to talk a little bit about this, but first, let's have you just have a chance just to tell us a little bit about the company and what you do.
Yeah, sure. So I own the Bradley Putter Company and we make custom putters. We like to make, you know, putters that have stories built into them. And so one of the ways we do that best is we actually make wood putters. You know, on the golf course, a lot of times it's all about telling stories. You want to get that hole in one to be able to tell the story about getting that hole in one. You want to tell it to your buddies. When you've got a Bradley putter in your bag, people notice it and they ask about it. And it gives you an opportunity if you just, you know, buy one of our custom putters, gives you an opportunity to talk about, you know, the process that we went through to build it for you. And then if you know, you've got some people sending us wood now, they're able to talk about their childhood homes and stuff. So that's what gets us up in the morning. You know, company started back in 2016 and so we're about 14 months in now. And we are just growing like gangbusters. Instagram is where a lot of that growth is happening. But yeah, you know, it's the core of it is wood putters. We've broken in metal putters as well, but what it's really about is relationships and stories.
That's so cool. And just looking at these things, and anybody who has a chance to check them out knows exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, on an aesthetic standpoint, these things are gorgeous with the wood grain and everything like that. And I love what you're saying too about the stories and the stories behind them and people sending you wood from famous golf courses and whatever it may be, or from their backyard, you know, childhood home. But beyond that, performance wise, tell me a little bit about why you chose wood to work with wood.
Yeah, sure. So, first off, I'll disclaimer, if these were just basic wood, they'd suck. I wouldn't game them. We actually do quite a bit to them so that, you know, we try and be so good at what we're doing that they look really simple. They look like they've never been touched. Like we just plucked it from the tree, sanded it and put it on a shaft. Mm-hmm. What actually goes into it though, is a lot. So, there's about a month long process to make them work. We dry the wood, we stabilize it. That means we replace all the place that water used to be. We replace it with a hardener. We calculate the densities. We calculate, you know, we analyze the hardness. We put up to 8 different weights inside of it in a very precise placement. We, you know, use real fancy epoxies to get everything back together. We, you know, hand shape it and, but still keep things very tight tolerances. Match every spec you could possibly imagine. And at the same time, we're incorporating the most gorgeous colors and acrylics. And what we try to do is make something that matches your personality. And then also is something that you will, you know, you'll buy it because it's pretty, but then after playing with it, you'll replace your 14-year gamer. Mm-hmm. My background is in mechanical engineering, material science. I spent 10 years designing military equipment to survive nukes. So I understand shock and vibration. I won't go, I mean, we could go into it a little bit more later, dive into it a little bit, but from a material science standpoint, these are some of the highest tech putters you can do. It's just, they look really simple because we don't have to pretend that they're high tech by making fancy little things and fancy slogans. It's actually high tech, but we know what we're doing well enough that we can just make it look pretty.
And that's one of the things that I was most impressed with was the feel. I mean, when we stopped by your booth at the show, I'm not sure who it was. One of the guys that was in your booth who was helping me, he made me go through this thing. And I talked about it on a podcast when we first got back because it really impressed me, where he had me just kind of close my eyes and hit a metal putter and then a wood putter and tell, you know, and guess which was which. And I guessed wrong. I guessed backwards. I mean, mm-hmm. I just look at these things and I'm like, okay, it's going to have a certain feel to it. And it just threw me for a loop. It's so far from what you'd expect. And it's such a solid, good feel to it. So I'd imagine that's where you get that from is all that work that goes into it, the hardening and everything else.
Right. It's the hardness of the face. So it's a bit softer than brass, which gives you really good distance control, allows you to control the distance really well. But then the internal weights and the pattern that we place them, what I used to do was I would control the frequencies on really large systems so that we would make sure that they, you know, the system wouldn't get destroyed when a big shock hits it. That means that I know how to control frequencies and systems. So with a putt, what you want to have happen is when you hit the sweet spot, you want it to have a really low frequency and that's your soft feel. But when you miss the sweet spot, you really want to know. And if the entire face just feels soft, then you're going to be missing the sweet spot and the face is going to be twisting and you'll be missing your putts. With this, if you miss the sweet spot by a millimeter, you feel it. It's not, there's this one single spot that is pure and perfect because you've got the symmetry right there. I was delivering putters to Bandon Dunes this weekend. They sent over some Madrone and we made putters for them. And the assistant pro there hadn't hit one yet. He'd heard about him and he's putting first few. And, you know, first few hits, he didn't think it was that special. Like I could see it in his eyes. He's like, yeah, they're okay. They're not anything great. And then he hits one and I could hear it. It sounds warm. Like he just hit the sweet spot and he looks up and he kind of like looks real quizzical. Like, was that supposed to? What was that? I'm like, yep, yeah. That was a sweet spot. He's like, how, really? And he starts hitting and he didn't stop putting for 30 minutes. He was that in love with the feel. So yeah, there's cool. A lot of material science reasons why these things work so well. It's just really, really complicated. And at the same time, I can explain it. It's not like, oh, you couldn't understand it. It's simple to understand. The reason we don't market it too much is that it takes about 5 to 10 solid minutes, sometimes up to 30, depending on how many questions you guys ask, on why these work so well. And mm-hmm. I can paint the stories through it, but it's not something that fits in a marketing message. I can't just go out and say, our putters are more technologically advanced than XYZ company because nobody would believe it.
Gotcha. And how do you go about, you mentioned earlier, the fitting process. How do you go about that, especially, you know, if someone's not local to you? Are you still able to do something, gain some sort of feedback?
Right. I mean, fitting is very important. It's kind of all the rage these days in golf, as it should be. Right. It's really important for irons and drivers and woods. Really important. Wedges as well. Your speeds are so high. Your everything is, it really comes down to the velocity at which the club impacts the ball and how much can go wrong, because there's a whole lot of side spin. You know, if you're not fit properly, you could maybe only hit a draw, but there's no way you're gonna be able to hit a fade. There's a lot that you need to be able to do with shot shaping and all that, right?
Yep.
In a putter, a lot of companies have tried to differentiate themselves by talking about their fitting process and how special and fancy it is, and how important it is to get fit for a putter. And yes, it's important. You do not want to use a face bounce putter if you have a toe hang stroke. You do not want to use a toe hang putter if you have a face bounce stroke. That's the most important thing. That's what trips people up the most. Length is important, but not like down to the millimeter. You know, half inch to inch is just fine. The weight is important, but not really important. It's people mostly get this one backwards. They think, if you're on a fast green, I'll ask you guys, if you're on a fast green, should you use a heavy putter or a light putter?
On a fast green,
I would probably, this is going to be one of those trick questions. I'd say a light putter.
You want a heavy putter? Right. No, 99.9% of people think that. So here's, we'll get a little bit into the science of it. So the speed at which the ball leaves the head is related to the speed at which the head hits the ball. So like if your putter head is moving really fast, the ball is going to leave it really fast. Right?
Right.
Can I agree on that?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now think back to high school, you know, force equals mass times acceleration. If you are, if you're imparting an acceleration to your putter, like you're swinging it, if there's less mass, then it's going to accelerate faster. So if you're imparting a force and there's less mass, like you can accelerate it quickly. And so your putter head will hit the ball faster. That means that with a light putter, you can hit it harder. You can hit it faster. With a heavy putter, it's harder to accelerate it. So that means that it's going to be traveling slower for the most part when it hits the ball, which means you're going to hit the ball slower.
Hence, so you're on faster green.
Yeah.
On fast greens, be able to control your distance better. And again, 99.9% of people get it backwards. You think lighter, I'm gonna be able to control it more. And no, you want heavier because you'll be able to control it more.
Gotcha. So all right, let me just get this right. So mechanical engineering and then building weapons for the military to defend against nuclear. Where'd the golf come in? Are you just passionate about the game? Are you a big time golfer?
Yeah, my dad and I used to go bowling until we were about 10 and we switched over to golf. And then I just got really passionate about golf. I played baseball up until my junior year of high school. I got shin splints so bad that you could see it on an x-ray. And so running games were just out for me. It was fun, but couldn't do it. So senior year, I played golf. And I also loved coaching it. I coached for a couple years at the high school. Just something I've always loved doing. The guy that taught me everything I know about engineering, he played golf as well. And it's just something we always got along with. I always try and get younger kids to play golf as soon as possible because that helps them in business. It's the game you can play the longest in your life. Yeah. If I could play golf every day, I would. It's a passion of mine. So what happened? How did I end up in the Bradley Putter Company? Well, I'm in Oregon, and we had right out of high school, I got picked up by this super top secretive place. I was valedictorian. I was the top of the class. And this guy that was, he's getting on in his career, looking to mentor somebody, picked me up, found me, recruited me, and started teaching me everything he knew. And that was while I was still in college. So I was doing college and working for him. And then out of college, they kept me. Their headquarters was over in Virginia, where all the defense stuff is. I was in Oregon, and that worked for quite a while. They had a headquarters here. Back in, I think it was like 2014, they liquidated. They got rid of everybody, everything. They consolidated everything back in Virginia, but they kept me, and they had me work from just me and one other guy. Then they got rid of that one other guy, and it was just me working in Oregon. I was the only employee out of everything offsite. I just had to travel all the time back to Virginia. Like every 2 weeks I was gone for a week or so. Like it was a lot and it sucked. But back in November of 2016, I got a phone call. They were switching stuff up. I could see kind of the writing on the wall that they wanted to do more consulting, which requires a lot more on-site and less product development, which was my specialty. And so in middle of November of 2016, I got the call saying, hey, you either need to move here or find something else. And I did not want to leave Oregon. My family's here. I'm in a lot of different like boards and Rotary and different charitable organizations here. I want to see Grants Pass succeed, and I didn't want to leave it. So I talked to all my mentors and figured out what should I do with my life. And they all said, find a start a business, figure out something you can do that, you know, I didn't want to be just a manager. I didn't want to just do engineering. I didn't want to just do, you know, all that kind of stuff. Didn't want to have to specialize. And so business was it. 2 weeks later, for 2 weeks, I was working on, a lot of programming stuff, robotic things. I'd making all sorts of like working on apps and whatever else I could figure out. Nothing I was real passionate about. Mm-hmm. And then on Black Friday in 2016, I was up in Portland, Oregon, and there's this store called The Real Mother Goose, and they sell high-end furniture. And there was this drum sitting on one of the shelves there that was made out of burl wood and had all these kind of cool cutouts in it. So it kind of triggered me thinking like, okay, well, I love burl wood. It's, you know, the crazy knots on the side of trees, makes really cool patterns. And the best supplier in the world happens to be 10 minutes from my house and an old family friend of mine. So for some reason, I just kind of pictured a golf ball dropping on it, just, you know, Lord intervening, like, hey, here's an idea, run with it. Pictured a golf ball dropping on it and kind of turned it in my head and thought, hey, what if you made a golf putter that made a cool sound when you hit it? So I got that idea on Friday, and on Saturday, I built a website. On Sunday, I had just read a book on landing pages and moving, you know, lean startup is my jam. Yeah. Like I move fast. So built a website on Saturday, got some conversions from Facebook, like people going over to check it out. I'm like, okay, well, there's at least enough interest that I should at least run with this a little bit. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, I built all my designs. I figured out, did the research, forgot really quick that my initial idea sucked. Don't do that. It's a bad idea. Don't make it like make a cool sound, just make it work really well. Figured out the materials science stuff behind it, why it was going to work really well. And on Monday, I built prototype one. On Tuesday, I built prototype two. On Wednesday, I shafted it up. And on Thursday, I was out at the golf course having people try it. Wow. The feedback already was, the first one was really bad. The second one was really good. And their only complaint was that the shaft wasn't really that, like the grip was pretty lousy. I'd gone on Wednesday to a pawn shop. I bought two putters for $10 and I sawed off the heads and I glued the shafts in place. So very much a minimum viable product. I made it in those first two I made at two different friends' garages. And then I got the necessary equipment to start making it in my own garage. And,
that's cool.
So now how hands-on are you still today? Are you still, you know, in there making these putters? You have a team working with you, or?
I've got a team now. So what I did since the very beginning was I knew this was going to get really big. So I've got two guys that have been with me since essentially the beginning that I started teaching to make putters, because the goal of this company is to make as big of a difference as possible in Southern Oregon, which means as many payroll, and as many people on payroll, as much money as possible coming to Grants Pass. This company is not, hey, look, everybody, I'm really good at doing things. It's, hey, we're going to make a business that's going to make Grants Pass a ridiculous amount of money. That's my goal. So right now I am hands-on during the design process. As we're like figuring out, you know, especially some of the more complicated putters, where's the putter in this block? Because it's not like a block of steel. You have to figure out with like, here's one of the blocks, like I'm holding right here in front of you guys. There's a putter in here that's like the perfect orientation, but you got to figure out where that is. And with the grains and all that,
cutting a diamond, how do you figure that out?
Very much so. So, I have Brett Lucas, who is in charge of the shop. And then Jared Segris, between the two of them, they do 99% of the putter making right now with my oversight. And, you know, it's my designs, my, direction in the first place, but they are now better putter manufacturers than I am, because that's what they do every day. So that was my goal, is to get this to the point where if it was just me making putters and running my business, I'd be able to make maybe two or three putters a week. Mm-hmm. And they would have to cost $5,000 each. Like there'd be no way to have a solid business out of that, just because everything is literally handmade. It's my role right now is in growth development systems, in making sure that the logistics of the whole business is operating well, the marketing side of things. And I try not to hide that fact at all. Like I'm showing these guys making them. There's other companies out there that their biggest thing is that, well, I touch every putter. It's like, that's great. I make the best putters in the world. So,
yeah,
you know, I was able to teach somebody else to do that. And I'm proud of that fact.
And that's what is cool. You do take people along for the process, because I watch like your Instagram stories and it seems like, you know, just day in and day out, you're just kind of bringing us along. I see the new shop is opening up, which looks just awesome. I imagine that's going to be a place for people to come and put their hands on them and that type of thing.
Yeah. The goal for this space is, we're going to be doing, we actually have some really big collaborations we'll be announcing in the next few months with some really big golf companies, where we want people to come to Grants Pass, experience the small town feel. You walk down the street here with one of us, someone's going to know us, and it's just a cool feel, like being a part of that. We will hand make a putter in front of you. We'll take you fly fishing, wine tasting, hot air balloon rides. We'll take you over to Bandon Dunes. We'll take you just to the coolest courses you've never heard of too. We want to make this just kind of a hub for really cool golf experiences that aren't, you know, there's other golf experiences out there where they're all about like, hey, come be a part of this really big company and see how cool we are and luxurious. Like what we're about is we live in like the coolest place in the world, and come here. Like come see what we're doing, 'cause it's freaking sweet.
Yeah. Frank, I think we found our next vlog idea.
I saw your wheels turning over there, and I'm like, yeah, dude. And you're not kidding, too. You have it right on your website. You have the fly fishing package. That's so cool. I mean, yeah, you come with a great putter and an awesome story. I like that idea. That's great.
We talk about it all the time, and we've been talking about it since, you know, day one. Like, we want people to have 18 holes worth of stories built into their putter. So, I mean, we were one company we're talking to, their CEO was with like the CEO of Yahoo and some big investors, and he got a hole in one on hole number two at this one course. And so, you know, I was talking about what we're capable of and how we can take wood with a meaning and do some really cool stuff with it. And they're kind of, you know, their cogs started turning. Like, well, we could probably get wood from that hole and then gift him a putter that, you know, at first he's gonna be like, well, that's gorgeous, that's really cool. And then they'll hit him with, oh, by the way, this comes from number two at this course. And that's something that we call it kind of the Peter Pan effect. Like every time you're standing over your putter, you're thinking about that time you got the hole in one. Or, you know, we've got another putter we're working on right now, almost done with, where it comes from a lady's front yard. The local Department of Transportation cut some trees down and the kids found really cool pieces of wood, sent it our way. We turned it into it is one of the softest, most amazing feeling putters, but it's a live edge, crazy looking putter. Now, when she pulls it out of the bag, guaranteed people are going to be like, what is that thing? Because it just looks totally different. But she's not telling the story of Bradley putters, because who cares about that? What she's talking about is her kids and how they used to have a swing in that tree and how, you know, they grew up in this part of Texas. And it's all those stories of home and childhood. So every time she stands over her putter, she's got those happy thoughts as opposed to just looking at, you know, any old thing.
I love that.
Plus it's like a confidence shot in your arm for your golf game. When you talk about like thinking of that hole that you made that hole in one on and you're using that same wood from that hole. I mean, it just, you know, it's a confidence shot. So you talked a little bit about how it got started and where you're at now. What's the future? Where are you headed? I see that even introducing some metal putters in there. But tell us what's in the future for Bradley Putters?
Yeah. We want to be kind of the premier, highest end putter company where it's a kind of a prestigious, honorable thing to have a Bradley putter. We're hand making them and we can only make so many. Right. So what we're trying to do first off, making the metal putters was, to prove that we don't make wood putters just because we don't know how to make metal. I've written, G code, which is the language for CNC machines in Notepad. Like I've ran manual bridge ports. I've ran CNC machines. It's not for lack of knowledge that I chose to start out with wood. It was that we had a niche here that really works. Yep. But we've been able to do these metal putters as well, which we've got a pro signed on now, Daniel Clater. He's 5-time winner on the Swing Thought Tour, growing fast. And he's going to be gaming our Applegate putter, which is named after one of our really slow, bubbly, Brooks locally. It's one of the softer rivers in Grants Pass. So it's a really soft feeling putter. And then we came out with the Rogue putter as well, which is, named after kind of the roughest and most wild and scenic river. It's a little bit sharper, a little bit more of a firm feel to it. Mm-hmm. It's got some steps in it that no one's ever done before that all act as alignment lines. You really have to see it to understand it and believe it. But it's one of those things where when you're looking at it, it's like, oh yeah, it's really cool looking. And then you line up over it. And as I was, not to do too much name dropping, but playing with Rick Shields, the big YouTube guy, yeah. Played with him mm-hmm. on Saturday and at the PGA show. And he tried the Rogue Putter for the first time. And you know, he'd seen it previously. He'd come over to the Bradley house and checked it out. And when he stood over it for the first time, he did kind of the same thing as that Bandon guy. He kind of looked up. He's like, oh, that's what they're for.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's where we really like having the functional art where the average person is like, that's gorgeous, but why? And right. There is a reason why. That's just for us to know and for you guys to kind of find out where there's no way for us to explain in a short period of time the science and technology of why these things work so well. So we're just going to focus really heavily on making them gorgeous so people will want to buy them because they're gorgeous. And then they'll be rewarded after buying it with a gamer that is actually 100% playable and likely better than anything they've played before.
Yeah, because and especially something like this, we talk about putter, you know, irons, drivers, it's stuff that we go through every two seasons, three seasons, stuff like that. But putters, I mean, you get one and you get one that just feels good. And it's just like, it's a club for life. So I feel like if there's ever anything you're going to spend time on, if there's anything you're going to spend money on, that should be it. Because I mean, I've been using the same putter for what, 10, 15 seasons already. It's something that, and you have to have confidence in that club. So yeah, if you were all aesthetics, you know, it'd be pretty, it'd be a fun story, but without that function, it just doesn't work or vice versa. If you're all function and no aesthetics, you know, sometimes people just say, you just kind of get tired, you know, tire of it, so to speak. So you got to walk that line, no doubt.
No, there's definitely a couple companies that they've got function, but they're not exactly attractive. Yeah. We've replaced, I mean, there's a, the Golf Garage is a really cool Instagram account where he does refinishing. And he told me he had a gamer that he had for 14 years. I made him a really special one, had a carbon fiber inlay in the acrylic with a live edge. It was one of the toughest putters I'd done in a long time. Took a long time to do it. But it was made to be an art piece, but it still had to be functional because it's a Bradley putter. Yeah. And he actually replaced his 14-year gamer in his bag. So wow. He just did a, you know, what's in the bag. And there was my Bradley putter in his bag. He's like, yeah, dude, this thing, it actually, I mean, amazing feel. It turned out super good, but I wasn't expecting that. I've got other stories of, you know, like the guys at the Putski. He had a Scotty Cameron for 10 years. Scotty makes great putters. Like, of course, I mean, our putters, I wouldn't say our putters feel better than Scotty's necessarily. He makes amazing good putters, but ours look unlike anything else. Yeah. And people expect you to make every putt from 3 feet with a Scotty, with a Bradley putter. If you make a 10 footer, they're going to go nuts. So, yeah. You know, it kind of helps with the perception side of things there. But we've got people that have replaced so many different. We've had guys take in, you know, their PXGs, and we made a putter that was, you know, a pretty similar feel and fit to the PXG Darkness. And one of the guys brought it in and compared like on one of those Sam Putt Labs or, you know, one of those high tech things. And he actually performed better with my putter than with the other one. It's again, things that we don't normally, you don't see that really marketed on our website mm-hmm. because it's so hard to believe that most people would just write us off as making stuff up. And we don't have to see that either. Just saying that they're pretty sells plenty of putters.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I do like about your website is that a lot of this information, a lot of these questions that we're asking here, you've got that there, you know, why would the story behind it. So it's really good that it educates because otherwise you just see it and maybe you see it flash on Instagram and you're like, oh, that looks awesome. But like, you don't really know. So I like that you've got that all there. So, all right, really great stuff. So just tell our listeners a little bit more, you know, obviously you've got my interest peaked. I'm sure you've got a lot of our listeners the same way. So how do they find out a little bit more if they're interested in either just finding out more about Bradley putters or maybe purchasing one, whether they're local to your area or just anywhere in the world, what's their best way to kind of approach that?
Yeah, we've got bradleyputters.com. We are, you know, 2018 is kind of an expansion year for us where we're going to be getting into a lot of different country clubs, doing, you know, have country clubs sending us wood, making putters for them. That's going to be how most people will be able to feel a Bradley putter before buying it. But we realize that a lot of people just aren't around somebody with a Bradley. There's only a few hundred out there right now. They're still pretty rare. And so what we do is, you know, you can go online, you can customize it entirely. You can do it with me over the phone, customize every color, every spec, you name it. And then within 2 months, you get your putter. We actually guarantee it. We guarantee you love it, and we guarantee it for life. So if you think that it's just not as good as I said it was, and you don't like it, then send it back. We'll give you a full refund. Interact with us on Instagram. That's where, you know, I respond to every single DM. It takes a lot of work, but yeah. It's worth it. Cause this company is about building relationships. Like, just in this, conversation alone, I've just been swiping up on people that I'll have to get back to, but I'm trying not to actually press it, cause then that would take me out of Skype.
Yeah.
But that's what's fun for me, is getting to know these people, building these relationships, where when I travel to a new city, I've got these friends already. Interact with us on the website, on Instagram is kind of the best way to do that. Call me up, you know, phone numbers on the website. It's my cell phone number, you know, shoot me a text with questions. We're excited about where 2018 is going to take us. We're making putters for some really big name people. Our putters are expensive, and we're not, there's no apologies there. They're expensive because we want to spend a lot of time with people on it. We want it to be something where, we're building a relationship. So if we were selling 1,000 putters a month, we wouldn't get to know our customers. What's really cool is that each putter that we make has a name, and that name is the person's name. Like, we name it after the person we're making it for, so that when we're talking about a putter, hey, how's the Jamula putter going? Like, that's the person's last name. Mm. And it adds a level, so that when we see it on Instagram, like, we know exactly whose putter that is. We've got pictures of the process that it went through. We know exactly when someone calls us up, like, we've only done a few hundred putters, so we know exactly what that putter looks like in our mind. That's what we're trying to create here. So, our putters aren't going to be getting any cheaper. They'll likely just be getting more expensive, because we want to be able to spend the time with with our clients on these gyms, and just, not only memories for them, but memories for us. We have very fond memories of the process we went through with a lot of these people. That was just, it's just fun for us. We don't want to just be, robots and machines cranking out putters as fast as we can. We want to, build those relationships.
Right. You know what? I always say expensive is kind of a relative term, because it's always like that initial sticker shock that you're spending, let's say, $700 on a putter or something like that. But then when you really think about it, again, it being a club that you use for life, the same person who might, be shocked by that price will be the same guy who will drop $400 on a new driver every other season, because they're intrigued by the new thing. So if you think about the expense over the life of the product, that's something that's always just kind of to be aware of, because you're just not replacing it as often as you are other clubs. So
no, and we guarantee it for life. I mean, honestly, if it got to the point where 5 years down the road, you're like, it's like something's wrong with it, or I don't really love the feel anymore, just let me know and we'll replace it. I mean, we will lose money on a customer before they have a bad time. If it's somebody that is genuine and is, has our best interests in mind and has their best interests in mind, we will go so far to take care of somebody. In our entire existence, we've had, I think, one return. And that was a lady that bought a putter for her husband for Christmas, and he already had a putter he liked and he didn't want it. Other than that, we've been able to take care of every single person. And they, I would say upwards of 75% of our putters are actually gamers in people's bags. And likely even more than that.
Well, there's no doubt you're doing something right, especially in that short time frame. I mean, just I'm on your Instagram account right now, over 20,000 followers. I mean, it's just amazing the amount of interest that it sparked. And I wish you all the best with this growth phase. And I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing for the town. I love what you're doing for the game. So keep it up. And we definitely appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today.
Awesome, guys. Yeah, again, it's an honor being on here. And just excited to watch you guys grow, and we're going to be doing some cool stuff together in 2018, I'm sure.
No doubt about it. All right, we appreciate it. Brad, thanks for stopping by the show. We'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys, another one of those instances of a great interview, great stories. I knew that this was going to be an incredible conversation just from the brief amount of time we had talking to Brad when we were at the PGA show, the brief amount of time we had just screaming in each other's ears because we kept running into him at the parties that were just, you just couldn't hear anybody. But this, like I said, the stories, what he's doing and the rapid growth, it just speaks volumes about, how great their product really is. So yeah, check them out stylistically. You know, it's some people absolutely love it. Some people may say it's not for them, whatever it may be. I'm one of those people who'd be like, I think in all the different things, there's going to be something in there for everybody. But once you put it in your hands, you start to realize that, wow, like, again, like he said, it's not just an aesthetic thing. The function is there. These are really high performing putters. So I wanted to get that backstory. I wanted to find out a little bit more what he's doing, which way he's heading. So I'm glad we got a chance to do that. I'm sure we will be staying in touch and keeping up with him as his story progresses with Bradley Putters and as they grow. So you know, we'll check in from time to time and see how that goes. And who knows, Mike? I have a vlog, and I know you do too.
I know. What a great guy. I mean, I would love to go out there. Yeah, talking about vlog.
See his shop, see what he does, play bands.
Absolutely. How great would that be? And you know what? What a workaholic, what a smart guy, what a cool dude. Just to take that concept and how he ran with it so fast. I really hope he does well. I'm rooting for him. I'm a fan. And you know, who knows? Maybe I'll have a Bradley putter in my bag one day soon.
Dude, talk about fast. Can you believe from concept, from idea to website and having prototypes in 3-4 days? That's just crazy. Something. But that's, you know, that's the way a lot of these things are. It's just like you get inspired. It's like something, it's like it's something you just know that it needs to be out there, and you just make it happen. So I love running into people who do that, and I always enjoy their stories. So again, Brad, thanks for coming on the show. Thank you everyone for listening. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, on SoundCloud, on Spotify, wherever you listen to the podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. That does help us grow the show. It helps us to, you know, expand to some new listeners, bring the show to some new listeners. And it also helps you because it helps make sure that you get those podcast episodes when they come out. Also, make sure you check out our Facebook group. Just go to Facebook, just search The Golf Podcast. We've got our listener group there. It's 100% free. It's a way to carry on this conversation between episodes. We kind of decompress and talk about some of the stuff we've talked about here. We get a lot of stuff, especially this time of the season where people start talking equipment, looking for opinions, retooling their bag, whatever it may be. That's a great spot for it to ask those questions. A lot of our listeners in there are just super helpful. I always love seeing people just chime in, talk about their experiences with different types of things. So make sure you check that out and visit us on the web at golffizzity.com. We'll see everybody again next week.